Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome Evan Armstrong to our podcast. Evan is a longtime friend of the magazine and is president of Armstrong & Associates in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Evan has more than 20 years of experience in supply chain management, and as president of Armstrong & Associates, he oversees many of its market research initiatives and provides consulting services to supply chain participants in various areas, including business planning, logistics outsourcing, mergers and acquisitions, market analysis and benchmarking, transportation management, and supply chain systems evaluation and selection. Prior to joining Armstrong & Associates in February 2000, Evan served as Vice President of Pricing at Roadrunner Freight Systems Incorporated. He has held sales and marketing and operations positions with major providers of small package transportation, LTL transportation, and third-party logistics services. He's also developed and implemented transportation and logistics systems and has spearheaded startup logistics operations for Fortune 500 customers. Hey, Evan, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really great to have you. So just to get things going, Evan, why don't we just start sort of with Armstrong & Associates' sweet spot, which obviously is the third-party logistics market. Looking at it now, obviously 2020 is a kind of a unique year, to say the least. Why don't we start with sort of your take on the current state of the 3PL market, and then maybe we can shift gears as well, looking back at the few months, specifically at the impact of COVID-19 on the sector too.
Yeah, Jeff. So, we're seeing some pretty much what we expected. So we kind of, came into COVID with all the shutdowns, and you had a lot of carrier capacity coming out. You had strong demand for, say, air carrier capacity to handle PPE types of shipments and a lot of the healthcare related stuff. So, going into COVID, we saw, the stay-at-home orders, we saw carrier capacity tighten up as capacity was taken out. We saw air capacity taken out in terms of, commercial carrier capacity going away. About 40% of what happens in terms of air freight happens on commercial air carriers. So a lot of freighter capacity had to come online to compensate. And then on the warehousing side, of course, we saw a lot, a jump in e-commerce related activity, especially business to consumer e-commerce related activity. And, dedicated contract carriage kind of held its own because of the way the contracts are structured. So within the four main 3PL segments, value-added warehousing distribution benefited on the e-commerce side. B2B growth slowed on domestic transportation management. Carrier capacity got tight. Overall demand waned. And then on the international side, a lot of it was around PPE. So that's kind of what happened going into COVID. And then we've seen the bullwhip effect now where, starting in May, we've seen a lot of demand come back. We've seen carrier capacity really tighten up as demand came back and there's more shipments. And we've seen a little softening on the international side as capacities come back online. E-commerce, of course, still going strong, and it's going to be a very big year for e-commerce growth, which is still the fastest growing segment within third-party logistics.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys put out a ton of great research every year, and I know you came out with a report earlier this month, which kind of looked back at, I believe, at 2019 in terms of kind of assessing market value and where things stand. And I think it'd be great for our audience if you could sort of share some of the key findings and data that are kind of give us a financial view, if you will, at the sector's overall value, if you will. Is that something you could jump in and maybe share with us?
Yeah. So, where we're looking at in terms of overall growth? So in terms of, overall growth this year, we're expecting the e-commerce market, so e-commerce 3PL revenues, to grow from about $43.4 billion in 2019 to $53.3 billion this year. So we're expecting almost a 19%, 20% growth in e-commerce 3PL revenues. And a lot of that, of course, is when we come up with those revenue estimates, we also include the Amazon portion of that is 3PL related. So for Amazon, our third-party logistics estimate in the U.S. is $31.8 billion in terms of 3PL market revenue. So we include things like fulfillment by Amazon. So roughly they have a 60% market share, and they've been growing their their market share has gone up from about 50% to 60% from 2017 to 2020. And when you look at fulfillment by Amazon, when you look at the rates they have in terms of UPS pricing and on the last mile fulfillment, it's pretty hard for 3PLs to compete, especially for small size shippers. Usually where the 3PLs do best is with mid to larger brands or brands that want to control their channels and not just get commoditized by working with Amazon. So that's some of the trends in e-commerce. Of course, we're seeing great growth in last mile delivery as part of that too.
So. Yeah, I mean, last mile specifically has really been a game changer for a lot of companies of all sizes. When we look at e-commerce on balance, and this includes Amazon and obviously the other major retailers that we see out there, Walmart actually, it looks like is coming out with their own version of Prime based on various news reports this week. I mean, it's very competitive. I mean, in such a short time, especially going back to the onset of the pandemic back in mid-March, I mean, everyone's essentially shopping online, and that's led to network overload in for some parcel carriers, if not all. What's the 3PL fallout of sort of the boom, if you will, in the influx in e-commerce order activity, and what does it mean for 3PLs, really? How should they be approaching it?
Yeah, so... I think if you're on the warehousing side, if you're in value-added warehousing and distribution, last year I did a presentation at the International Warehouse Logistics Association on strategy for 3PLs. And I did ask the audience how many of them were doing some type of e-commerce fulfillment. And roughly 75% of the group, which includes a lot of mid-market 3PLs, raised their hand. When I asked that question, probably 2-3 years before, very few attendees raised their hand, and there were roughly about 150 people in there, so it's a decent sample. So I would say that, for 3PLs, along with the growth of Amazon, which has been stunning, we have seen, the rising tide raise all boats. So there's definitely quite a bit of e-commerce activity being handled by most of the value-added warehousing and distribution 3PLs.
Okay. All right, great. And one thing I forgot to mention, but I wanted to bring up, is just to sort of the role of mergers and acquisitions within the 3PL sector. It seems like regardless of economic conditions, there's always a fair amount of buzz about M&A. We could probably pull out a ton of different examples from over the years, but it's always there. People have talked about the term service convergence with 3PL M&A because of the many different things 3PLs can offer up. How do you sort of view 3PL M&A, not just at this time due to COVID, but just more on a general basis?
Yeah, generally. I mean, if you look at the top 50 global players in third-party logistics, there's very few of them that, you know, made our top 53PL list with without doing some type of acquisitions. Most of the larger 3PLs have dedicated M&A people, and, you know, doing ongoing acquisitions as part of the strategy. So if you look at companies like Hub Group, C.H. Robinson, Transportation Insight, you know, a lot of the big transportation managers, and then, of course, the international guys like DSV and CMA, CGM with SIVA Logistics, you know, it's definitely part of their strategy, and it's part of their growth and, you know, to expand capabilities, expand network scale.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And shifting back, I know we talked about international briefly at the beginning of our talk. What's sort of the outlook on the international side? And I ask that just because in recent months we're starting to see imports jump again, especially at the West Coast ports after, you know, a little bit of a sustained period of, I don't want to say inactivity, but really, really depressed volume levels. With international on a bit of an upswing and people getting ready to shop for the holidays, no one really knows if there'll be a traditional peak season, if you will, but how do you sort of assess things in terms of the recent bounce back in international as it relates to a upcoming peak from a 3PL perspective?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, growth is going to be pretty flat this year over last year, which I think most people would accept given the pandemic on the international side. So we're expecting a slight decrease in gross and net revenue versus last year. It's been a little bit more dramatic on the domestic transportation management side. We're expecting an overall net revenue decrease of about 8.2%. And a lot of that's just because of the volatility and capacity, which makes it hard to, control the margins, especially with the whipsaw that we had starting in May and then going into the pandemic. We saw, a nice gain in gross margin, but, not as much capacity and not as much volume. So it's DTM's domestic transportation management, of course, very cyclical. And then we expect growth in dedicated contract carriage and slight net revenue growth in value-added warehousing and distribution, really due to that those e-commerce volumes.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. Another question I had, it sort of has to do more with a TMS focus or a DFM, or rather digital freight matching focus, certainly becoming a big arrow in a quiver, if you will, for 3PLs. And I'm just wondering sort of how you see that all fitting in, just because there are so many of these players in the market with more and more seemingly coming on the scene every day.
Yeah. So in terms of, excuse me, Jeff, can you ask me that question again?
Yeah, no, it just had to... No, that's fine. Totally fine. I just was asking sort of about the emergence of these digital freight matching players, these TMS focused 3PLs, if you will, too. It just seems they're getting a lot more attention at a time, in an interesting time, given the current capacity environment within trucking. I'm just curious to get your opinion on sort of where it all fits in within the 3PL landscape.
In terms of digitalization, we've seen entrants like Convoy, Uber Freight, Transfix.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, when you start talking, you know, we referred to them as digital freight brokers, but what we're really doing, and we just came out with a paper on the digitalization of freight brokerage, what we're really seeing is a convergence of, domestic transportation management, so traditional freight brokerage plus managed transportation services, which has become fairly automated through widespread use of transportation management systems that are augmented by a lot of different apps. But digital freight brokers, you know, if you look at a digital freight broker, what kind of separates them is, you know, you're going to be able to get almost instant upfront pricing on a load. They do have some type of real-time track and trace visibility platform, and then they use algorithms to match the shipments to the carriers. So a lot of it is automated, much more so than a traditional domestic transportation manager. And, you know, it looks a lot more like managed transportation, which has been fairly automated for some years now.
So okay.
We see that happening. And then we, of course, you know, companies like Robinson and Coyote and others aren't standing still. And they're using applications such as Parade's artificial intelligence, load matching, AI applications, which McLeod also incorporates in terms of email extraction in its TMS. So there are a lot of applications and tools that can be used by traditional freight brokers to help digitalize their applications. Parade's one. Then you have the visibility guys like Forkites and Descartes MacroPoint. And then you also have, Project 44. And then some of the back office applications where you get like Triumph Pay and guys like HubTrans.
Oh, okay. There's
quite a few applications out there to help freight brokers digitalize. It's really about making sure you have the pieces in place before you digitalize in terms of the business model and your strategy. And then once you have those parts in place, then it's about how can we use technology to help improve this operation.
All right, terrific. All right, so just in wrapping up, Evan, I had one final question for you, and that just would be, what are two, maybe three of the key trends or themes that shippers that rely on 3PL should be focused on, say between now and a year from this time? What are some of the, sort of, the top level things they really need to be paying close attention to?
Yeah, it's really about supplier management. So managing your 3PL providers, working with your 3PLs to make sure they have capacity on the transportation side when you need it. Right now, inventories are rebuilding on the warehousing side. So a lot of 3PLs are getting pretty tight in terms of warehouse capacity. So really, it's really about, as volatile as things are, and as much uncertainty as there is, it's good to, really have strong 3PL relationships and work to manage those from a KPI standpoint, but then also from a shared information standpoint where you're sharing information between your companies. That's going to help the 3PL anticipate demand and then help them, grow with your operation or make changes with your operation as well.
Okay, great. All right, well, listen, Evan, we're at the end of our time for today's podcast. On behalf of Logistics Management and Peerless Media, I'd really like to offer up a big thank you for participating today.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. And for all of you out there, don't be afraid to give Armstrong Associates a follow on Twitter. That's simply at Armstrong_Associ or ASSOC. And of course, Logistics Management is at Logistics MGMT.